quick Scott's bummed about the humidor. And pick your milk for breakfast cereal, Mount Rushmore. They'll be there for you. There's a non-zero chance. They'll be there for you. Help you with lead dominance. They'll be there for you. And read some emails too.
Are you ready for week two? Or maybe week three, depending on however you set your league up. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, April 9th. Adam and Heath here. Scott will be arriving shortly. Heath is already tweeting and waiver wiring and all that great stuff that we do on Monday morning. And he is all fired up about Sean Newcomb.
Yeah. How could you not be fired up about Sean Newcomb? When a pitcher does something and he's only the second pitcher ever to do it, and the other one's Randy Johnson, you get excited, and that's what Sean Newcomb did. Six shutout innings as a visiting starting pitcher at Coors Field, nine strikeouts, no walks, and he's less than 60% owned. I feel like this is a little bit of validation of my don't react too much to things that happen early, because he was drafted in more than 54% of leagues. There were people that dropped him because of a bad start against the Washington Nationals. You don't drop that type of upside.
But would you rather have Ronaldo Lopez or Sean Newcomb? Because they're both owned in right around 50% of leagues.
It's not even close. It's definitely Sean Newcomb.
No, Lopez. It's close. Of course it's close.
No, it's not close. Lopez was good. Kinda.
No,
like
he
had five
good
walks and five strikeouts in seven innings. He's got an 0.96 BABIP so far this year against him. He's not been Sean Newcomb, nine strikeouts at Coors good.
Let me just tell you the one problem with Sean Newcomb's start. Anibal Sanchez. Anibal Sanchez, the day before Sean Newcomb's brilliant start, threw about as good as you could ask for Anibal Sanchez at Colorado. Five innings, seven hits, two runs, two walks, six strikeouts. And this is actually, I think, the theme that I want to get into right now is the weather. And we are seeing a lot of really good starts. And I don't know what to make of weather sometimes. You know, like, I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head, but in Chicago, in Detroit, the weather's just been like Jake Junis last week, right? Amazing start. I don't know how much the weather had to do with that. I think that was a 1-0 game. Ronaldo Lopez against Mike Fiers this weekend, right? We're getting a lot of great starts. Very cold in Colorado for that Braves-Rocky series. There wasn't that much offense. Kind of sucked for the Braves because this is your one weekend at Coors Field and didn't like Freddie Freeman. Did he homer? I don't know if he homer. Maybe on Friday. But anyway, I think the weather is suppressing offense a little bit, Heath. And it's kind of making me wonder just how legit some of these starts are. Makes it a little bit more challenging, I think, to look at some of these great starts and get excited about them.
Well, the thing I will say, and this goes back to the Sean Newcomb versus Ronaldo Lopez discussion. Lopez isn't missing that many bats. He's not striking out a batter per inning. There's a lot of balls in play, and batters are hitting 0.96 on them against him. That sounds like something that could have something to do with cold weather, although his first start was in Toronto. It might have been cold there, but it was inside, so it wasn't for the hitters. Newcomb, I don't think cold weather creates strikeouts.
I don't know. And the other thing is with cold weather is that sometimes it's great for pitchers, sometimes it's bad for pitchers. I mean, Herman Marquez basically couldn't feel the ball in that same environment. He had a terrible start. So it's tough to gauge. Great. Sean Newcomb, great. Add them both, Heath. Add Ronaldo Lopez, 51% owned, or 53. Yeah, 51%.
Yeah, definitely. He was the second name in the waiver wire.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So I just don't think it's particularly close who you should be more excited about. One of those performances was much different than the other.
Yes. Now, Newcomb had a much better performance. I think if I were really nitpicking, I'd say Newcomb's got big-time walk issues, which we saw in his first start.
Versus the guy that just walked five guys.
But you know the history is not the same. You know Lopez doesn't have the same control issues that Sean Newcomb has. Isn't that right, Scott White?
Yeah, but I'd rather have Newcomb.
Oh, fine. Screw you,
mean,
Scott
like
White.
Both.
Get out of here.
I'd add both of them. That's it. I give the wrong opinion, so I'm gone.
No, apparently you're giving the right opinion. These guys are owning about half our leagues, and that's who we're starting the show with. Now let's get further into it. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Adam. What about you?
I'm happy that we executed the trade and Team Scam made a trade.
Yeah. I still don't feel totally great about
it. Adam was just talking about what a great teammate you are and how enjoyable it is to try to work out a trade with
you. Don't make it out.
I imagine he wasn't.
Don't make it out to be like that. I tried to stop convincing Scott and he finally went through with the trade. We gave up Jake Junis and Delino DeShields for Jameson Taillon and Brad Ziegler in a 16-team head-to-head categories league. Let's talk about Jameson Taillon, complete game shutout. Was it a shutout? Yes.
It was a shutout.
Yesterday.
It was a one-hit shutout.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The only hit was to the opposing pitcher, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Tyler Mahle. So this is a guy that Scott wrote about last week in his you know, pitchers that looked like they were breaking out column. And I know that he didn't strike out a batter per inning or anything, but I can't complain about a complete game one-hit shutout. Big start for Taillon.
No, it was obviously a great result. I feel like the process was a little not as encouraging. Like what got me so excited in the first start didn't happen in the second start. And that was, you know, in the first start, he really emphasized his four-seamer over the two-seamer, which he had leaned on in the past. Four-seamer, all the data shows, is clearly the superior pitch. And he started out the same way in this start, but after like the third inning, he featured the two-seamer a lot more, and it basically was a 50-50 split for the whole start. And yeah, he's not going to miss as many bats if he's leaning on the two-seamer. He's probably going to give him more hits. But, you know, it's just one start, and it's hard to... it's hard to know what to take away from that other than, like, he threw like 80% fastballs, period. Between the two pitches, like, his secondary stuff is great, but he just didn't need it. So he was
throwing tons
of fastballs all day.
Exactly. He didn't need it. We love Jameson Taillon.
I was a little bit disappointed as a Jameson Taillon owner that, he pitched on Sunday. I already had my matchup wrapped up this week in that league, Adam, as you know. And I'm
you're having one of those mornings, huh?
It's going to be one of those mornings. Okay. But in all seriousness, great suggestion on Twitter. I think you better call Taillon. Oh, I screwed it up. Taillon. Call him.
Is that who you want to talk about? He's your standout, Jameson Taillon?
I mean, he's everybody's standout. It's a great team name.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just screwed me up because I thought you were talking about Taillon Walker. But you're back because you screwed up the song.
I totally screwed up the song.
Okay, that's
sorry.
On you.
Sorry, Miss Badu.
Who else did we add and drop? Any interesting add drops? We'll look at the most added list in a second.
I think you have to get a little bit excited about Michael Franco. And I did hear somebody say over the weekend maybe he just needed to be challenged. He had a very good weekend. He has now 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, and 4 extra base hits on the season.
Yeah, I added him in 2 leagues and actually dropped him earlier in the week because I didn't think his playing time, Michael Franco's playing time, is going to be regular. Just, you know, Kapler's crazy. But he's played
crazy
in 7
game.
Of 8 games. Yeah, I know. I think he started 6 of 8, but I think 4 in a row. So whatever. If he hits, he'll start. I'm not worried about that. It's a little premature. He hit the Grand Slam. It's premature to be sold on Franco. It's not premature to add him. He hit the Grand Slam. They scored 20 runs that game. They faced the Marlins. Terrible pitching staff. But, yeah, I'm excited, Heath. I picked him up in 2 leagues. Good stuff. Scott?
I did not have a very active weekend on the waiver wire, which, you know, wasn't for lack of trying. I just didn't see a lot of options I liked. I was in a couple 15-team leagues willing to throw a couple dollars Christian Villanueva's way. Because since that 3-homer game, he's started every game. Mm-hmm. And that looks like possibly a power source who flew under the radar on draft day. But that was only in 15-team leagues. I would imagine 12 teams and fewer, you have somebody more attractive than that out there.
We have so many emails about Ian Happ, and I have Happ in a couple of leagues. I'm sitting Ian Happ. I'm starting Josh Harrison over Ian Happ in one league. I'm starting Trey Mancini over Ian Happ in another league, where I'm using him as an outfielder. You have to sit Happ, right?
I would.
Yeah.
You probably have to sit Happ, and it makes me sad to say that. I'm not happy.
I don't get it. Like, he gets, I think, the game-winning hit or something. Like, it's a huge hit, and Joe Maddon's like, well, maybe this will get him going, and then he sits him the next day.
And, like, the only thing that's working in his favor It was a little bit scarier to me earlier in the year when Ben Zobrist and Kyle Schwarber were both really hitting. Schwarber's like 0 for his last 10 now and hitting 170. Javi Baez is hitting 180 or something. So the first one of those guys to get hot, I think, will be fine.
Keenan Middleton I added, and it looks like Jacob Barnes is probably the guy to own for the Brewers. Middleton for the Angels, Barnes for the Brewers. They're 30 and 25% owned, respectively. Who would you guys want in that? Out of those two closers, Keenan Middleton for the Angels or Jacob Barnes for the Brewers?
I mean, there's more clearly a transition that's going to happen in the Brewers' pen, right? This is just a speculative pickup for Middleton.
Yes.
I mean, if we had to guess who gets the next save for the Angels, it's Blake Parker, right?
That would still be my guess, yes. The way Socha's used the two lately opens the door for some, you know, you could wonder about that. But I mean, I think I would take Barnes. It's only a question to me because my hunch is Matt Albers gets the first save chance when it comes up for the Brewers.
But I know, didn't it come up on Saturday or no? Or was it a tie game?
I believe Barnes blew the save.
Well, Barnes was used as the closer. Albers threw two innings the night before, and Barnes blew it, but two infield singles and an error. He did not pitch poorly, and then a bunt for an RBI by John Lester. But it really seemed, I don't know, let's check on that, because it seemed
to be on
Saturday.
All right, yeah, I'm double-checking here. I may have just missed it. It's totally possible. Barnes was in. Yeah, Barnes came in for the ninth inning and blew it in an awful way.
Yeah, but it really,
which
he didn't
isn't
pitch
exactly
poorly.
An endorsement.
No, he really didn't pitch poorly. Like I said, two infield singles and an error in that game. So it was bad luck for him.
I think Albers pitched two innings the day before, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to clarify also, like, I understand he had some unlucky hits and such, but he got two outs and had two walks and didn't strike anybody
out. One intentional. Almost positive about that. It did seem like a really Murphy's Law kind of inning for him. But the bottom line is Barnes was used as the closer a night after Matt Albers was not used as the closer. So it seems like he was leading going into Saturday night. I don't know how much the blown save weighs on it, but.
I mean, all right, let me look at Friday's, because I feel like something Friday gave me an indication that, and by the way, Craig Counsell qualified it as, you know, before anybody got a chance. Don't know exactly who it's going to be. We're going to try people until somebody sticks. Okay. So, you know, just because, what's his name?
Barnes
got the first chance doesn't mean necessarily he's the guy.
And I'm not particularly excited about any of them.
So Barnes pitched the eighth and the ninth inning of what was a tie game at the time.
No, Albers.
Sorry, Albers.
Great segment.
Really, really.
I had the right details, just the wrong name.
It's okay, guys. Just go pick up Sean Newcomb.
Well, no, look. Okay, look. Barnes and Albers. Okay, let's just say that they'd be the two guys to get probably right now, right? Especially since
they'd be the two guys to get probably right now.
Okay. I will say Barnes is the first choice from the Brewers bullpen, based on what we saw this weekend. But I, you know, it's like a 60-40 thing for me.
Okay. And Blake Parker has been really bad, and Middleton hasn't given up a run yet. So if you need to speculate, Middleton's 30% owned, and the usage of Parker's been a little bit interesting lately. All right, the big news, Knebel's out 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. So if they stick to one guy, you could have the Brewers closer for 4 to 6 weeks. That could be really nice. Eugenio Suarez fractured his thumb, guys. Is it Senzel time for the Reds?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's the beat writer seemed to indicate. I'm talking about the one for the Reds official team site seemed to indicate it won't be Senzel. So, okay. And it's worth noting Senzel wasn't very good this spring.
Can Billy Hamilton play third?
No, he did offer up a name. But it wasn't anybody I cared about.
It was
I didn't bother to commit it to memory.
It was Jacob Barnes.
No, it wasn't Jacob
Barnes.
It was
Albers.
Matt Albers.
Same team. Scott Schebler dealing with an elbow issue. Could end up on the DL, which, of course, would be good for Billy Hamilton and his sketchy playing time. Mike Socha.
Alex Blandino was pulled from AAA Louisville.
Oh, okay. Mike Socha opened to using Shohei Ohtani more as a hitter as the season progresses a little bit, but Ohtani is clearly a weekend standout. Holy cow. Unbelievable Shohei Ohtani. Wow.
The Angels have the best player in baseball. It's just not the one we thought it was.
Christian Yelich is on the DL with an oblique strain. They're saying it's minor. He could be back on April 15th. Nelson Cruz could return on Friday. Ryan Healy hurt his ankle, so I dropped Daniel Vogelbach. And it looks like now Vogelbach, even when Cruz comes back, you know, Healy could be a serious injury here. Vogelbach could have regular playing time. Mike Zunino could return on Friday. Lonnie Chisenhall is out 4 to 6 weeks with a calf injury for the Indians. And unfortunately, I think Tyler Naquin's going to get more playing time. But do you think that if you need steals, Rajay Davis is someone we should pick up now?
Only AL only.
And Rougned Odor appeared to mock Marcus Stroman during one of Stroman's pitches. It was pretty childish. And you can't mock someone. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but Stroman's got like a big leg kick that he uses sometimes. And so in the middle of the pitch, Odor does the leg kick. But it's freezing cold, and Odor has one of those face covers where you can't see anything but his eyes. Like, you look like kind of a wimp when you're wearing that. You can't mock someone when you're doing that. I just think that's a bad look. I think it's a bad look.
Yeah, I'm watching it now. Bad look.
It's bad look.
Pretty awesome, really.
You're kind of giving up the pitch, too, right?
Yeah, like, of course.
If you're going to alter your swing mechanics that drastically, like, you're just conceding, I'm not going to swing at this pitch, even if it's in my wheelhouse. Like, that's totally uncompetitive move.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's kind of fun.
I mean, I guess. I just think, like, you can't be wearing that mask when you do it.
Oh, he gave him a little extra at the end.
Oh, yeah, he gave him the crotch grab at the end. Yeah. He sure did. He gave him the business. All right, let's take a look at the most added list here. The most added player is the number one third baseman in fantasy, Oakland's Matt Chapman. He is 84% owned. He's batting .375 with 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, a double and a triple in 11 games, 5 walks to 9 strikeouts. Yeah, he's going to strike out, but 5 walks, very nice in 11 games. Matt Chapman, guys, buy or sell, pardon me, buy or sell.
Like, I think there's a good chance he's not only a high strikeout guy, but a low BABIP guy. And that's based on the little bit of data we had last year and this year. It's just kind of low line drive, big fly ball tendencies. And I'm not sure there's quite enough power to go with that to make him an overall standout. I'm still skeptical of Chapman.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say, when we say big strikeout, we should qualify that a little bit.
He's not Gallo.
He was below 30% last year.
Yeah.
He's at 20% early this year. Again, it's kind of like what I was talking about with Davidson. If a marginal improvement in that strikeout rate for a guy with very little experience in the major leagues could make a big difference in his value.
All right, the number two most added player is Jake Junis. He's got 2 starts this week. He's 81% owned. Preston Tucker is the third most added player, and I don't know that you can start him this week. He's got 4 games at Washington and at the Cubs. I did look at Scott's hitter column this morning, but I didn't look at the worst matchups, but I imagine the Braves are on there. They got Scherzer, Strasburg, Darvish, and Quintana, Scott.
I don't remember if they're on there. There may have been a change in that group. I can't remember if the Braves are on it or not. I'll look at it now. But yeah, those are bad matchups.
Is he going to have Lester as well? Because no. I don't even know if he'll play against Quintana and Lester.
No, he doesn't have Lester, but he has Chatwood. Well, is Chatwood a lefty? He is, right?
Here's the thing. Acuna could be up Friday.
Right.
So true.
This, like, I should have put him in the waiver wire just to say stop adding him.
Preston Tucker?
This is not a thing.
Okay, yeah.
I wish it'd be a thing. I like him more than Markakis, but I don't see it happening.
Chatwood's a righty. I apologize for that. All right, back to the most added list. Tyler Mahle is on the most added list, but he got rocked yesterday. I don't want to get. He had a really bad inning against the Pirates.
I had Braves as the second worst matchups. Go ahead.
What do you think about Mahle? 56% owned.
I don't know that he doesn't have some work ahead of him still, because he kind of has that Tony Cingrani thing where you look at the minor league numbers and they blow you away, but they were built on a very fastball heavy arsenal. And he actually wasn't fastball heavy in this start, but maybe that's why it was so bad. You know, like, I'm just not sure the Arsenal's fleshed out enough to for us to rely on him in fantasy yet.
I think his ownership is probably about right. The problem with his ownership is that Newcomb and Ronaldo Lopez are owned basically the same number of leagues. But right around 40 or 50% for a pitcher that has some upside and has shown us in one of the two starts, that seems about right.
Okay, that's Tyler Mahle. Tyler Skaggs right behind him at 76%. Skaggs is a two-star pitcher this week. Chris Owings, guys. Chris Owings, Diamondbacks shortstop, batting 423 with a steal. What do you think about him? He's 51% owned.
Well, I'm surprised we don't see more shortstops at the top of the list, because I would assume all of the Xander Bogaerts owners are very concerned about whether they're going to have a shortstop this week. I'm also kind of surprised that Owings is the guy at the top. Like, yeah, he's off to a good start. Nick Ahmed's hitting over 400 as well, I believe. I would rather add Azdrubal or Ahmed Rosario.
And it looks like bad matchups for Owings. I mean, he's got Holland today, which should be fine, but Johnny Cueto, who's amazing, and to be determined for the Giants on the 11th, but then Rich Hill, Kenta Maeda, Clayton Kershaw to end the week. So beware, I guess, there. So do you want to talk?
And yeah. Long term, it's Owings has gotten most of his starts in right field, which is Steven Souza's spot.
Okay.
So, gotcha. I mean, I don't know that Nick Ahmed's really somebody the Diamondbacks will lean on once everybody's healthy, but that's what they were indicating toward the end of spring training, that they prefer him to Owings. We'll see.
Let's read some more names here on the most added list. Keenan Middleton, Brian Anderson, 34% owned, Jacob Barnes, Reynaldo Lopez, we've talked about him, Joe Panik, Tim Anderson, Ian Kennedy. Panik and Anderson are about 75% owned. Ian Kennedy is 41% owned. He's off to a good start. I whiffed on this guy. I really should have picked up Shin-Soo Chu in a 14-team points league, but I missed the boat there. He's 58% owned. How about Ian Kennedy? Could he bounce back? He was just so bad last year. Can he have another year with like a sub-4 ERA? He's a pretty hard-to-predict pitcher.
I think that's possible. He apparently had some health issues last year that prevented him from driving with his lower body, and so that's why we saw the strikeouts, which had normally always been there, we saw those drop off last year. Really good spring with a big strikeout rate. I don't think he's as good as he's looked his first two starts, but I think he could be that guy who was 2 years ago and, you know, kind of in that Lance Lynn range of fantasy contributor.
This is Ian Kennedy we're talking about. Would you rather have Kennedy or Tyler Mahle?
This early in the year, I'm going to gamble on the upside of Mahle.
It depends on if I need a starter this week, I'd rather have Kennedy.
And just some other names. Joey Lucchesi, 23% owned. Deeper leagues, I see people picking him up. Okay.
Yeah, I've grabbed him in a couple spots. The problem is you just don't know if you can start him this week because he has two starts, but one's at Colorado.
There was one. Tyson Ross had a really good start against the Astros over the weekend, and he's about 14% owned. So I think our 16-team league's probably the only one I'd think about picking him up. I don't even know if he's owned, but probably is. But just want to bring Tyson Ross up. It's pretty solid start to the season. Two starts, one okay, one really good. It's 14% owned. You guys, what do you think, right? Like 14%?
That's too low.
Too low? Okay.
It's really good a stretch. I mean, he gave up 4 runs yesterday.
Oh, did he? I'm sorry. Wait, 7 strikeouts against the Astros?
7 strikeouts, couple home runs. I mean, the stuff for having had thoracic outlet surgery, from what I can see, it looks like it's pretty much back. So there's upside here for sure. I'm just not sure he's demonstrated enough for me to make him a priority pickup.
All right, we're going to do the worryometer in a moment, but I got a message for all of you employers out there. Anyone who's hiring now, or if you're looking to hire in the future, just keep it in mind, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And the URL you want to go to is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. If you want to try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. There's no better way for you to find the right people for your job opening. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply for your job. And here's your stat of the day. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That's incredible because ZipRecruiter doesn't stop. They spotlight the strongest applications you receive. You never miss a great match. It's really important to find the right people. The right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter.com/strike is how you're going to find them. It doesn't matter if it's a big business, small business, medium size. Businesses of all sizes are trusting ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs, and our listeners can try it for free. That's right, for free, people. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 0 to 10 on the worryometer. Ready for this one? Gonna knock your
socks
off.
I'm ready.
Gonna knock your socks off. I'm warning you.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw.
Whoa! Socks are across the room.
Four straight seasons with a K rate of 10.4 per nine or higher. And only nine per nine, only a strikeout per inning right now. Any concerns on the worryometer on Kershaw that he won't be a super ace, just a regular ace?
Like a one, two, not high.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. All right, fine. Marcus Stroman, worryometer on Stroman.
10.
4? I don't know.
Like this obviously this entire game starting with Clayton Kershaw and then going to Marcus Stroman. Like how do you calibrate the worryometer when those are the two names?
I think what you do is you forget about Kershaw and then you just
okay, so a 10 on the worryometer would be I would take a trade offer for him. I don't know what it means.
Like
a 10 on the worryometer is that you have no confidence in the guy.
I think Stroman is going to be exactly who we expect him to be. I think he's had two bad starts to begin the season. I think it's mostly been control related, which is reasonable since he missed so much of spring training with an injury. So, and maybe sit him, but you know, if you liked him when you drafted him, you should still like him now.
So you expect 200 innings of a mid to high 3 ZRA?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Basically.
I think that's probably fine. I just think a lot of people's expectations may have been higher than that when they drafted him.
I mean, it might be more on the low side of 3 than mid. The whip's going to be kind of high because he's, ground ball guy. But, yeah, that look at his numbers last year. Maybe correct the ERA a little. And
last year is about a third of his major league career.
Yeah.
And so is the year before when he had a 4.37.
I think what he did last year was legit.
I do not. Yeah.
Okay.
He outproduced his FIP by almost a full run.
Well, yeah, adjust the ERA a little. Like, I don't. Okay. Whatever.
3.7.
3.7's pretty higher than I expect.
Yeah. 3.7 would be a bad year for Stroman. But
3.7 is his career.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you talk about
he's
career.
He's kind of in that Keiko category because his ground ball rate's so extreme. You kind of expect him to outperform the FIP, right?
Well, no, I was saying 3.7 is his career ERA.
Okay.
His career FIP's actually a little better. 3.58.
I have a tough time looking at a guy's career ERA when he's still very early in his career. And, you know, he made 4 starts in 2015. So, anyway. So,
and the year where he got the most innings was kind of goofy.
And Stroman's at Cleveland this week, which is interesting because it's probably going to be cold. But Cleveland's been really bad. I mean, their top 4 hitters are hitting very poorly. But Stroman's pitching, I think I'm leaning towards sitting him. Like I'm gonna okay, you know what? I'm gonna sit him for a 2-start Tyler Skaggs right now.
Agreed.
That's fine. Yeah, do that.
All right, good stuff. Way to go, Adam. Next up on the worryometer, Luis Castillo. Ah, yikes! Off to a bad start.
He is off to a bad start. But the dominance indicators are still off the charts. Like the number of swinging strikes he's getting just on the changeup alone. Like if you're only counting those, he's one of the best swing and miss pitchers in baseball. And I think he's had fastball command issues early. Whatever. I mean, like, it's 2 starts. If you think the talent, if you still believe in the talent, you should still believe in the player. And I definitely believe in the talent here.
I'm not dropping Luis Castillo. I am worried because I had him ranked as a top 30 starting pitcher, and there's plenty to be worried about there.
What are you worried about?
The swing and miss stuff with the changeup is there. The strikeouts have not been yet. He pitches for what's probably not going to be a very good team.
But doesn't the lack of strikeouts seem fluky if he's getting that many swings and misses?
It seems a little bit fluky, yes.
A little bit or a lot?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
To me. Well, it can seem a lot to you.
I think the worrisome thing with Castillo is that he's not really throwing a slider. So he's got two fastballs. He's got a two-seamer and a four-seamer, and he throws the changeup a lot. But I do like – I want him to have another pitch. So that's my concern. But he has faced the Pirates, who have been amazing, and the Nationals. Well, we'll give him a little bit of a break there. Cole Hamels, worryometer.
I don't know. This is a tough one to calibrate because am I worried about a guy who I didn't think was going to be very good? No.
I wouldn't have that much problem dropping him.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a little premature.
You drop him for Reynaldo Lopez, right?
What's weird is he got 17 swinging strikes yesterday.
I don't think he has a very
really
good
high number. But he didn't get many strikeouts, and obviously he didn't have a great start. So I don't think the stuff in terms of velocity has been very impressive either. So, yep. Like, I want to drop him because I know somebody in my league values him. But I'm not... I would be holding on for another start like his last start so you can sell high.
Let's just say, when I said I would drop him, Sean Newcomb, Reynaldo Lopez, both available in half of leagues, I'd drop him for either of those guys quickly. I would not drop him for, like, Ian Kennedy.
It's Cole Hamels we're talking about. And Hamels, I thought it was interesting what Steve Pierce said about Hamels. Steve Pierce homered on the first pitch of the game, and he said his changeup, I think he said his changeup is nasty. Like, I didn't want to wait for that pitch, so he jumped on a first-pitch fastball. And that's the thing. Hamels is just, he's... doesn't have a very good fastball right now. So
yep.
I think he can get the swings and misses with his secondary pitches, but he's going to get, you know, he's going to get beat on his fastball.
I'm looking to see more of that slider he worked on in spring training. It'd be nice to break that out.
All right,
I think he's throwing it. They're just calling it a cutter because it doesn't break enough.
Worryometer on Daniel Duffy.
Yeah, I'm pretty worried if you drafted him as a top 40 starting pitcher. I didn't. It's kind of like probably how Scott feels about Cole Hamels.
Worryometer for Duffy is, I guess, a 5. Nice recovery after an awful first inning in his last start. That was true for both him and Carrasco in that game.
Do you want to buy low on Danny Duffy? Sounds like Heath knows Scott maybe.
I mean, depends how low we're talking here. You want to throw some offers my way?
Sure. Jake Junis.
I guess I'd rather have Duffy. Ask me after Junis' start tonight.
No. Patrick Corbin.
I'd rather have Corbin.
Well, you don't rush to make a trade.
Well, the trade's going to be off the table after tonight.
You're not confident in.
It's going to be off the table.
Yeah, I'd rather have Corbin.
Well.
Corbin or Duffy? So Corbin for
yeah, I'd rather have Corbin.
Starter sit Duffy to this week against the Mariners.
I would like to
I would
start.
Prefer to sit him, yes, if I had options.
Worryometer 0 to 10 on Kenley Jansen.
0.
Yeah, it's like a 2. Velocity, at least according to Brooks Baseball. Baseball Savant had it different, but it had him averaging on his cutter about what he averaged last year in this most recent outing, and he struck out the side.
Yeah.
So he looks like he's out of the drink.
Yeah, I don't think it was quite vintage Jansen, but it was definitely a step in the right direction. All right, and this one's interesting. Ken Giles. Now, Peacock got the save on Sunday because Giles was unavailable. But if you do a Twitter search for Ken Giles and you see what Astros fans say about him, they hate Ken Giles, at least the ones on Twitter. They don't trust Ken Giles, and he's really not off to a great start.
Yeah.
Where's your worryometer on Giles, 0 to 10?
Yeah, the unreliable closer is the most hated by fans. And that's fair. Like, how many times has he lost his job just since joining the Astros? And, he lost it in the playoffs last year on the way to the World Series title. But, he still is a dominant pitcher when he's on. He still has, like, top 5 closer potential. You just got to worry that he'll have a bad week and lose his job at any given moment. So, I guess it's like a 3.5 for me.
Yeah, I'd say 3 or 4. I don't think they want to give this job to Peacock. They've been pretty clear that they don't want to have Devinsky or Peacock as their closer. They want to use them in the more high leverage situations. So I don't think he's particularly close to losing it right now, but 2 games could change that.
All right, I got a great email of the day to get to, and I will do that in just a second. But guys, how fun is the draft app? Oh, Heath, let's check the scores from the draft that we did on the Sportsline DFS podcast.
I finished last. I know that.
Do you know who won?
I'm guessing you, since you're bringing it up.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
That's a Heath move.
I came in second. But I love it. I'm having so much fun. And I did one against the listeners on Friday, five-person league, and I came in fifth. So, great. Lance McCullers, Chris Bryant, Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, Adam Jones. Picked the wrong Orioles, Yankees stack that night. But look, I love it. I'm having so much fun on the Draft app. Everybody, please sign up. Download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code FB today. It's very important you use that code FB today, like fantasy baseball today. When you do that, you get free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. Again, use our promo code FB today. Why do I love draft? Because we all love snake drafts, right? We do snake drafts all the time, and that's our favorite part of the draft. Now do it every single day, as many times as you want. Play for real money. Contest start at just $1, and your chances of winning money on the draft app are 80% better than they are on the salary cap site. So there are just so many things to like on draft. Everybody, do it right now. Download the draft app. You can follow me. You can compete against me. BigCane2 is my username, so follow me, BigCane2. Download the draft app and use the promo code FB today, and I will whoop you. Eventually, I'll make good on that promise, stop getting my butt kicked, but FB today is the promo code, draft.com or the draft app. Email of the day is from Troy in Colorado. Simple question, do Heath and Scott feel stupid for not predicting Ohtani for Rookie of the Year yet, or is it too early?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I feel really stupid. And I regret paying so much attention to the 8 or however many scouts Jeff Passan interviewed in that piece for Yahoo, because it was universal in their distaste of Ohtani's hitting approach. And we didn't see much good from him as a pitcher this spring either. But it just, I brought up an anecdote about when we were talking about his struggles this spring, and I was trying to, provide the full 360 degrees of it. I brought up an anecdote about Lou Piniella, his first spring with Ichiro Suzuki, and how all Ichiro Suzuki was doing was hitting these weak grounders to the left side of the infield, and Lou Piniella got concerned that he couldn't do anything else. But apparently, their preparation for the season is so much more about process over there than results, which is theoretically is over here too. But I don't know. People get a little worried more when they don't see results. Cause he's out of his mind good. At pitching, especially, 25 swings and misses. The splitter was responsible for like 20 of them. And he's had a perfect game into the seventh inning, 12 strikeouts. And oh, by the way, he homered in 3 straight games earlier this week. It's just like, I feel like it's the biggest sports story. It's got to be one of the top 5 stories of our lifetime. And I feel like it's actually not getting the hype it deserves.
Well, one of the top 5 sports stories of our lifetime.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
I'm not ready to go quite that far, but
let's do a top 5. OJ.
Well, Tiger originally.
Tiger. Okay. yeah, Ohtani's right there. Ohtani's third.
Yeah, I think he's probably right there with those two.
I mean, we'd probably have to. It'd probably take a little more thought, and
it is a huge story. If he played for the Yankees, it would be
nobody's
like
done this since
news.
Babe Ruth. Nobody thought anybody could do it, which is why nobody's tried to do it.
I just want to clarify one thing, because all of your tweets about how I was wrong about Ohtani, I appreciate them. Keep retweeting that CBS Sports HQ piece where I said he was going to be a bust. That's really fun and awesome. I just want to clarify, though, that this was not because of spring training. I was stupid about Shohei Ohtani long before he was bad in spring training.
Well, the other piece of news here actually is that JC Ramirez is going on the DL. And so it's going to be really tough for them to use a 6-man rotation. You were concerned about Ohtani because of the innings. You thought he was going to throw like 150 innings at most, right? And
oh yes,
that's still I mean, is a legit concern. Also, he is going to be great, right? It seems like you got to look at him and say he's going to be really good. There's never going to be a time where his value's higher than now. So, I still think
that's not sure.
I might entertain putting him on the market. He's not going to homer every single game, and if he plays three times a week,
but like just for the, and obviously you have to choose on CBS Sports whether you're starting as a hitter or as a pitcher, and it still seems like you're going to choose pitcher every time because, you know, he doesn't bat the day before or after he starts. But as a pitcher, he looks like Cy Young material. I don't know that he'll get the innings to be in contention there, really, but it doesn't matter. Like, as scarce as frontline pitching is in today's MLB, if you get that guy and you invested only a ninth round pick in him, so you, like, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't trade him for Justin Verlander if the offer came my way. I think I probably would, but.
Probably?
Okay, probably. Here's the I was on last night the In This League podcast. I know, Adam, you've been on there before.
Oh, I love them. They're great.
Yeah, Bogman and Welsh. Lots of fun. That was one of the questions they asked. What is the best player you would give up to get Ohtani? And the first one they asked me was Dozier.
No way.
And the second one was Jose Ramirez.
No way. Come on.
They had run Twitter polls, and it was about 50-50 on Dozier.
Oh, come on now. I mean, you're talking about 11 days of baseball. I can't see it. I mean,
if you could pull off a trade like that, like maybe a top four rounder for Ohtani. If we were redrafting today, he would be at earliest a fourth round pick for me, I think, because of there's less provenness there and there are innings concerns. So that's about what he'd be for me. So if you can get somebody like Ramirez or Dozier, I'm skeptical you can. I think it's one thing when you don't own that guy and you're just swept up in the moment to click yes on that poll.
If it's a daily league, I think maybe you can.
Let's not forget he had an elbow issue too. I mean, and they want to use a 6-man rotation so they don't stress his arm out. So I think if you can get a surefire thing like a top 4-round pick, you have to do it with Ohtani, just like you guys said. I'm just reiterating. But I don't know. If people are split on Jose Ramirez versus Shohei Ohtani, then I do believe, as great as Ohtani is, I do believe that it's getting a little out of hand.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. What do you guys think about Giancarlo Stanton? Two games with no hits and 5 strikeouts. He's at least the first Yankee, if not the first player ever, to do that in the same season in the live ball era. Any concerns there on Giancarlo Stanton?
He's not the first player to do it. He's the third, I believe I saw. Ray Lankford did it recently. Semi-recently.
Ray Lankford's back?
Recently in the context of all baseball history. Anyway.
Sure.
No.
Yes.
Oh, man. He's a worry ward today.
Here's my thing. I'm not worried about Giancarlo Stanton just being terrible. But there were two things he did last year that were new. Mm-hmm. One was stay healthy. The other was cut his strikeout rate by 20%.
Yep.
He's struck out in 41% of his plate appearances so far. Mm-hmm. I think it's reasonable to be worried he goes back to a 30% strikeout rate guy this year, in which case he was not worth a first-round pick.
Except he was always worth a first-round pick, except for that one year, except going into last year. We always classified Stanton as a first-round pick.
But he not actually returned first-round value.
Only because he got hurt. On a per-game basis, he was a first-rounder.
Yeah. Stanton or Judge, who'd you rather have rest of season?
I'm sticking with Judge.
I'm sticking with Stanton.
Okay. Start or sit, these guys, if you had to make the decision right now at about 10 a.m. Eastern. Gary Sanchez.
I would start Gary Sanchez, because what kind of replacement catcher are you getting?
Xander Bogaerts. Yep.
I would probably sit Xander Bogaerts, unless we hear something different this afternoon.
Anthony Rizzo.
We got to make this choice in our 16-teamer, Adam. I'm leaning towards starting.
I'd like to congratulate you guys. I believe you are over 500 for the first time in the For the People podcast league.
Yeah, it should have been even bigger. We lost both Delino DeShields and Jake Lamb early in the 11-day scoring period. That's one knock on the 11-day scoring period that we never discussed.
I agree with that as well. We lost Zanino and Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
So that's something I hadn't really considered. Worth remembering.
We also lost Anthony Rizzo, but we hung on 6-4. Go us. Charlie Blackmon, day-to-day, Oh, what did we say? We're starting Rizzo? I think we're going to start him in the 16-team league. They keep downplaying it for what it's worth. Charlie Blackman, got to start him, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Ian Kinsler could come off the DL tomorrow. Starter's it. No.
Not in a standard 12-team league. Give him a chance to prove healthy and effective.
George Springer.
I would start him.
Me too.
Okay, let's... Guys, I've been a little slow-paced here, so let's see what we can get to here. A lot of stuff. We can save some for tomorrow. But we talked about Chapman. We talked about Franco. I'm going to give you some other hitters who have been pretty solid. Colin Moran for the Pirates. Jesse Winker does not have an extra base hit, but he's batting .273. He's leading off for the Reds, and he's got 7 walks of 6 strikeouts. Josh Reddick's off to a great start. David Peralta's pretty interesting. I picked him up. I plan on starting him this week. He started against 2 of 3 lefties. He leads off for the Diamondbacks. He's batting .324. Peralta's having a nice start to the season. So of those names, of Colin Moran, Jesse Winker, Josh Reddick, and David Peralta, Reddick by far the most owned. Who's your favorite there? Who's like the most exciting?
I think Winker's the most exciting.
I agree. Winker's the most exciting. I don't expect him to be better than Josh Reddick, though. So, like, Josh Reddick would be my favorite. Winker's the most exciting.
Winker is certainly my choice for this week. I like the matchups presented for him. A lot of righties, and he is a left-handed batter, does well against righties.
Okay. I think we'll save the steals sources for tomorrow. You go ahead, Scott. You have something else to say?
Yeah, I wanted to mention David Peralta looks like an everyday player and not somebody who's sitting against lefties, and he's hit well against lefties so far. So as the Diamondbacks leadoff hitter, I do have more interest in him than I thought I would. And Colin Moran has struck out only 3 times so far, which is, he was a low strikeout guy throughout his minor league career. If he strikes out that little, he's going to hit for average. And anybody who has that kind of bat on ball skills in today's offensive environment, I think, is a threat for 20 homers. Like, I think we may be sleeping on him as a potential contributor at third base.
I just real quick on Peralta, if he keeps hitting like this against lefties, it won't matter. But my expectation would be once we get Steven Souza back, we see Chris Owings play against lefties for Peralta.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Eduardo Escobar, shortstop eligible. Ketel Marte, second base eligible. Matt Carpenter, 2 games away from second base eligibility. Scott Kingery, 2 games away from shortstop eligibility. Ian Happ sat Friday and Sunday against a righty. Michael Conforto sat against a lefty on Saturday. That was possibly, just let's give him a day off after he came off the DL. But that's another situation to monitor. And get into the pitchers. I guess we could talk about the studs, but maybe it probably makes more sense to talk about the fringy guys that could be added. Take a look at the studs being studs. Charlie Morton, Weaver, Quintana, Darvish, Garrett Cole, holy cow. 2 straight games with 20 or more swinging strikes.
He may have gotten Ohtani wrong, but that Garrett Cole for Cy Young pick is looking plausible.
He's amazing. Yeah. He is amazing.
The Astros are amazing.
They are. Wow.
The way they mine the data to get the very best out of a pitcher. I mean, they've done it with fringies like Charlie Morton in the past, but seeing what they can do with a potential ace like Cole, it's working swimmingly.
All right, that's fine. That'll do it for that category. Studs being duds. Jake Arrieta, we'll give him a break. He had a bad first inning. He settled in, and they should extend his pitch count next time around. Rich Hill struggled. Giolito, he's not quite in the Arrieta Hill category, but he was bad. Jose Barrios was awful. Tanner Roark had 1 bad inning, gave up a grand slam. Zach Greinke had a bad inning. Could have been the weather. Very cold weather.
Let's go back first, though, real quick to Barrios.
He was awful.
You say he was awful, but like he was kind of awful in a Jacob Barnes type of way, right?
Except he didn't walk anybody and he struck out
7 batters.
He gave up 5 runs in 4 2/3. He was awful.
I understand. Jacob Barnes gave up 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning.
The ball never left the infield.
He wasn't really that bad.
It never left the infield. I shouldn't say that for sure, but I don't think it left the infield. At least the hits.
I think it probably did.
Not the hits.
Yeah, I'm just... Barrios was not good. I'm not trying to say he was good, but... He didn't walk anybody, struck out 7.
I don't think anybody's giving up on Barrios based on you know, the way the first start went.
No, but I think Giolito, let me just focus because we're running out of time. Giolito, it's not a very good start because even his first start was four walks, one strikeout. It was a quality start.
Well, what got us so excited in spring training was he was dropping this curveball in that looked unreal, and he's hardly featured it at all here early in the season. Now, where do you know where he was pitching in this start? Like, maybe it's a very cold weather.
Yeah,
you put
it was
Detroit. Maybe he just has a hard time getting a feel for that pitch in the cold weather. Maybe he deserves a pass for that. I mean, if a guy's not throwing his best pitch, I would say most pitchers wouldn't be very good. So I'm going to give him to the end of April to show that he still has that curveball. I'm not even saying he has to be good. I'm just saying he has to show that that's going to be a regular part of his arsenal. If he doesn't show it by the end of April, then I'm comfortable moving on to whatever other exciting player is emerging off the waiver wire in that moment.
All right, here's a new segment called Overown New York Starting Pitchers. It's Matt Harvey at 89% and Jordan Montgomery at 87%. Disagreements?
Maybe a little bit on Harvey, but I don't think he's too far. Like, it's at Washington. The Nationals are really good. I'm not going to hold it against him.
Okay. I mean, this was the first time, spring training and regular season combined, where I've seen a Matt Harvey start this year and said, okay, this is something I can definitely feel either good or bad about. Yeah, feel bad about it, obviously. And I feel like, well, maybe it was Chris. I think it was you and Chris. You were talking about dropping Harvey potentially after his last start.
No. Chris was talking about it. Chris and I had the same takeaway from Harvey's first start, which was five scoreless innings, one hit, one run, five strikeouts against the Phillies, which was, I have no idea
obviously
how he didn't give up any
results.
He
obviously was good results, but the underlying, you know, the velocity being low, not many
throwing a bunch
strikes.
Of cookies over the middle of the plate, and the Philly, any other team probably would have crushed him. And he didn't.
So I feel
well
like
here.
He continued those tendencies and took them into this start, and the results were much worse. Maybe a matchup had something to do with it, but I don't think he's undroppable. I'm not saying I'm rushing to drop him. I'd like to see more, but he's not.
I agree.
Undroppable.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'll say the same thing I said about Cole Hamels. I would happily drop Harvey for Newcomb. I would happily drop him for Reynaldo Lopez, but I'm not dropping him for Ian Kennedy.
I think I could agree on Harvey. I wasn't willing to go that far with Hamels, but I agree on Harvey.
What's interesting, would you drop Harvey for Steven Matz in a shallower league?
See, Matz had his own issues. I mean, great results against the Nationals, even the eight strikeouts. That's awesome. Two swinging strikes. There was great frustration from the Nationals in particular about how much of the inside corner he was getting.
Oh, yeah.
It did not seem like a great strike zone.
He had 30 called strikes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This umpire was terrible in that
game. Sounds
like
pinpoint control.
But he's got better stuff than Matt Harvey
right
now.
I say that kind of jokingly, but if the umpire is giving you a part of the plate, you still have to throw it to that part of the plate where they don't want to try to hit it.
No, I mean, I was watching the Mets broadcast and even Darling and Keith Hernandez were saying this is ridiculous.
Right. Same. Yeah, I was watching that too. All right. Fringy starting pitchers. Let's talk about guys that could be added right now. Or we could just maybe save this for tomorrow. Let's save it for tomorrow. It's too late in the show. These are more important stuff. We'll get it at the front of tomorrow's show. So let's preview today's games and then read some emails. All right. Today's games starts and sits. We got, I think they start at 2:00. So there's something that, here we go. Something that the listeners should know. I have the worst computer in the world, and when I stall, it's because the web page isn't loading, but it is finally loaded. All right, Chris Archer at the White Sox, start or sit?
Start. Don't even think about it.
Yep.
Think about it. He's going to give up three home runs.
Don't think about it.
No.
You might make a stupid decision if you think about it.
Life is easier when you're the Archer owner if you just don't think about it.
Start him.
Miguel Gonzalez against the Rays.
No.
Yvonne Nova at Tyler Chatwood.
I would start Chatwood, not Nova.
Yep.
Francisco Liriano at Corey Kluber.
Definitely Kluber.
That's it.
I don't know. As bad as that Indians lineup has been, if I was hurting for another arm, I could see doing Liriano.
Cody Reed at Ben Lively.
Nope.
No.
Yolish Yacin at Miles Michaelis.
No.
Mm, I'd start Michaelis.
That's an interesting one. We're going to be watching that one. Julio Teheran at Max Scherzer.
Scherzer, yes. Teheran, no.
Oh, so it's Bryce Harper day.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Bryce Harper always homers off Julio Teheran, but he's been homering so much. He's got to stop homering at some point, right?
Is he going to be your Donk Chasers pick today?
He's going to be up there, no question. Jay Happ at Dylan Bundy.
I would start both of those. Chaps.
Okay.
Probably, yes.
Can't spell chap without Happ. If you spell chap incorrectly with an extra page.
Yeah, you can.
Noah Syndergaard and Jose Ureña.
I would actually start both, I think.
What?
I would not.
What is this Jose Ureña thing, Scott White?
I really thought the way he used his slider in his last start was transformative. I don't know if he'll keep using it.
That's the thing. Like, but he's been a bad pitcher his entire career, so he had one start where you liked it, and now you're willing to start him against the Mets?
I mean, part of it's I don't have a lot of confidence in the Mets lineup. Look, I'm not... Like, I'm not dropping somebody I care about to pick up Ureña in the hope that this goes well. But if I already owned Ureña, I don't feel like I could leave him on my bench with this matchup.
If you own Ureña, you should drop him.
Famous
there is someone
words.
Available on your league that is better than Jose Ureña.
That's not true. There are plenty of leagues that are deeper than the standard 12 team head to head.
There are, and even in those leagues, there is someone better.
Garrett Richards at Doug Fister.
Richards, yes. Fister, no.
Correct.
Justin Verlander at Lance Lynn.
Correct. He's giving me right or wrong. What was it, Lynn or versus who?
Well, Verlander was starting. Lance Lynn, starter sit against the Astros.
No chance. Against the Astros?
Yeah, I guess the matchup would scare me away after the way that first start went. But it wouldn't surprise me if he has a bounce back.
Well, I think the tough part is, what do you do with Lynn in a two-star week? He's got the Astros and then the White Sox at home. I'm starting him.
Points league, I'm definitely starting him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. Same. Not Roto. Marco Gonzalez. Tricky. At Jake Junis.
I'm starting Junis for sure, and I think Gonzalez also.
I would definitely start Gonzalez over Lance Lynn and Jose Ureña. Maybe even if I could combine Ureña and Lynn's points.
Clayton Richard and John Gray in Colorado.
I'll start Gray.
I mean, if you're not going to start him against San Diego, why'd you draft him?
I think I'm going to that game for the Donk Chaser, by the way. And Zach Godley at Derek Holland.
Godley is great. Holland especially against the Giants. Yes. Holland, not so much.
Time for
you're
emails.
Gonna go, you're going to go away from Bryce Harper's BVP for your Donk Chaser's pick. Who are you?
Oh, I know, but he's got to stop homering eventually.
Want you all to pass Harper. Let me get him with the last pick.
Scott, you are dumb. Win.
My pick Friday was Rizzo.
Oh,
he was out of the lineup.
Way to go. All right, Chris in Minneapolis is in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. I currently have Ian Happ as my second utility player. Should I drop Ian Happ for Shohei Ohtani, the batter?
I would rather have Happ the batter than Ohtani the batter.
Yeah, I think the playing time concerns will be similar, but Happ has more hope of emerging as a true everyday guy, so I agree.
Jonathan from New Jersey, does someone have to get hurt for Ryan McMahon to become a starter? Is McMahon worth holding in a 12-team or deeper league until then?
The answer to your first question is it certainly seems that way. The answer to your second question is probably not.
What are the Rockies doing? Makes like he should be in AAA if he's not going to play. He's just sitting around wasting away. He's going to go bad.
Next email from Will. John Lester for Madison Bumgarner, head-to-head categories league. Who'd you rather have, Lester or Bum?
Bum.
Bum.
From Michael, head-to-head points league. Would you trade David Price and John Lester for Garrett Cole and Ian Happ? Price and Lester?
Oh, yes.
For Cole and Happ?
Oh, yes. Yep. I would trade Price and Lester probably for just Cole. Probably.
From John.
I'm hedging now that I say.
16-team points league, weekly lineup, no points for wins or quality starts. So who would you rather have this week? Newcomb, Harvey, or Chirinos?
Newcomb.
Yes. Newcomb. Yes. Newcomb, it is.
Newcomb.
I agree.
Damn near killed him.
Newcomb
Mike
all.
D. from Burlington, Ontario, Canada. Jason Kipnis, he got dropped in my league. Should I spend fab on him? Will he get consistent playing time? Is he just off to a slow start, or is Kipnis no longer fantasy relevant?
Oh, that's a lot of questions. I think the answer to the last three questions is slow start, will get playing time, still fantasy relevant. The answer to the first question depends on your league size, because there's a lot of depth at second base, and I don't think the standard 12 team, if there's no middle infield spot, he needs to be rostered.
He says he needs a second baseman desperately. If that's the case, you probably should, unless there's a better second baseman out there.
I am sitting Kipnis for Panic this week, but I prefer Kipnis rest of season to Joe Panic. And that's in a points league, by the way. Okay, then. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Listen to the Sportsline DFS podcast today. Very special announcement. I am wearing a Dong Chasers shirt, and you're going to have a chance to win one.
Outstanding. Take a listen to it. Sportsline DFS podcast. Go to cbssports.com/podcast for subscription options. For Heath and Scott, I'm Adam. Talk to you tomorrow.